God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
Now, do you know that from that moment, there's now a new man on the face of the earth? Eh? This new man now, he carries the container that God made, but he carried a life that is completely different from the life of God. And I want to say to you, that life that he carried, that life that he carried, has something that is constantly opposing to God. Is that all right? There is, you know, actually, what was the origin of this life is disobedience. So, can I tell you that disobedience with that natural life is genetic? Eh? It's genetic. How does disobedience manifest? It manifests by wanting to be the God. It manifests by wanting to be the leader. It manifests by wanting to be on his own. It manifests by wanting to have the last say. Is that life? Wheresoever there is struggle in the heart about obedience, what life is there? The natural life. The old man. Or what you want to call the flesh. Are you with me to this point? Now, if you read Bible, now I just wish you can now begin to read Bible. You will now see that by the time, you know, this body that God created it to use it for as long as he wanted. Do you know that? This body. And when the life light that God put in there was there, actually it quickens, it revitalizes the mortal body. It makes the mortal body, you know, to come. But when this man took over, the body is still there. And I noted, please can I tell you what I noted? I noted that in chapter 5, they were living 900 years. Eh? Somebody lived 969 years. Another one lived 962 years. Another one lived 935 years. 910 years. They lived so long. Until one day God said, how long will my spirit do what? Struggle with man. Even when he lived 800 years, it was 800 years of what? Struggling with God's purpose. So God said, okay, what do we do now? Let me cut it short. That men are now living shorter lives. It was because this man inside continued to use this body contrary to the will of God. By the time you get to Psalms, it was cut further. to 70. Eh? I don't know what it is now on the average. You'll be surprised that in our own present generation, maybe the average normal life now is in between 45 and 60. I don't know, but surely things have been cut short. And all of that was because this man. So in chapter 6, you heard how God said, my spirit will not always struggle with man, for he also is what? Flesh. For his thoughts and imaginations are what? Are evil once a week. Continually. There's no breathing space. That life. Are you with me at all? Do you get me? Now the question that we are dealing with, I've decided to go like this and try to be very fundamental, because we are going somewhere. Now this kind of life, no matter how you train it, give it all the theological training that you can give it, make it as brilliant as you can make it. Huh? Whenever it will manifest, where will it manifest? It will manifest his own nature, which is contrary to God. Are you catching me at all? He said, there's a man of God. He's fornicating with a church member. Let me tell you the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that the life he carries could not do otherwise. Eh? Now, when you study the Bible, I'm just trying to let you see the study of the Bible from the beginning now. When he came to a climax in chapter 6, God said, look, I'm going to wipe out. Do you know that the wiping out that happened in the days of Noah was redemptive? It was not just judgment, but was redemption. God wanted to redeem the earth from wrong human beings, so that it could start again. It was redemption. And when God looked, there was only one man that the Bible said, what? He found favor, found grace in the sight of God, Noah. I was asking myself, what kind of righteousness was God looking for in the whole world? And he didn't find it. Except one man. And no sooner has God started with that one man again. Eh? The first fruit after the flood, he got drunk. Eh? What was that pointing at? God was saying, well, you can cut me short, but whenever I grow, I will do what? I will grow myself. Unfortunately, his son came and saw him, and from Noah again, I hope you know that it is also from Noah, that man that God preserved, that men of Babel also descended. And did you see as they began to multiply again, something again rises. He said, we shall not spread anywhere. Let's make a big name for ourselves. Let us build something that will reach the heaven, so that we will just stand there and say, God, how are you there? And then whatever. And when God came down to see the imagination of men, God said, look, if we don't scatter this now, then God employed the confusion of their tongue. I'm still telling you, it is still redemptive. But the issue that we are tracing is because God has committed himself that let us make man. Let him have dominion here on earth. Eh? And as if the devil also said, we can make man, but let's hijack what was made and let him also serve us on the face of the earth. This is the matter. Do you know that by the time you move, all the prophets that preached, they were only struggling with this. Jeremiah cried one day, said, the heart of man is what? Is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? With years, with advancement, with development, man has not improved. And this kind of life, it can be preaching, but it cannot subdue darkness. Do you know why? Because itself is darkness. Am I communicating at all with you? Praise the Lord. Now, I've continually said something that I don't want you to forget. I said the physical body was not the problem. Is that all right? It is not your eyes, it's not your leg. There's something here that God is looking how to handle, how to deal with. When the word of Noah was flushed, unfortunately, the next generation was Babel. God continuously looked for a man that will be different from all men. When Sodom and Gomorrah was roasted alive, and God, in mercy, took away Lot and his two daughters who were virgins. Did you hear me? These two girls were virgins in Sodom. What will you think? You will think that this will be correct species of men. They were virgins in Sodom. But as soon as they got delivered and they discovered that their father was like the only man, but he was only foolish, because he was not the only man. If Lot woke up and said, let me return to my uncle. Eh? Because it was his uncle that just prayed a few days ago to spare him. It was his uncle that went and fought and rescued him when he was captured by those enemies before. I wish when they were saying, escape, he said, please, let me escape back to my uncle. Do you know that the angels will have supported him? But then, Lot, having experienced such a great deliverance, you don't expect him to go near sin at all. I want to tell you, until this life is removed, though, even miracles does not make a saint. You will think that somebody that was seriously delivered from something that would have killed him will never go near sin. Has it ever been like that? Never. That nature continues to press. Lot, one day, his two daughters, they sat among them, said they were not dreaming. The senior one called the junior one and said, look, the only man around here now is our father. Are we going to be looking at him like this? Make we sleep with him. Oh. And they knew it was wrong. Do you know that they knew it was wrong? They knew it is not correct. Because if it was right, they should have told him and said, sir, your wife is dead. And we don't have any other man. What do you think of marrying us? They knew it was wrong. But something in them was saying, go and do it. The junior one said, but how do we do it? How will I show my father that I'm interested in him? Yeah, you don't understand. Let's get him drunk. Now I'm asking, where did they learn that? In Sodom, they were virgins. What is it now that is beginning to break forth in their lives? I want to tell you, it is the nature of the life they carried. Friend, are you with me at all? It's the nature of that life. When they got their father drunk, I'm studying the Bible and I say, maybe it was drunkenness. But then I remember that Uriah was made drunk so that he can stagger to his house to go and sleep with his wife. But he didn't go. He slept at the gate. So I realized that drunkenness may only be a sedative to release what a man wanted to do. That somebody say, it's because I'm drunk, that's why I went and slept with my brother. That's why. It's not true. The truth is that you have been wanting to sleep with your brother's wife and you are only ashamed. So you wanted to kill shame so that it will look as if you are not. No, it's not true. Lot slept with his first daughter and it went well. It went well. And the junior one said, how did it go? They discussed. So it was deliberate. And the junior one said, you mean he did well? What of mine said, don't worry. We will get him drunk again. If they got him drunk the first time, it was a mistake. What of the second time? There was something in Lot. There was something in his daughters. They produced children for their father. That's a generation that had experienced great deliverance. Until this man is removed, you are not going far. Praise the Lord. Did you understand what I'm talking about? Now, when this life continues to manifest like this, it's like the devil is saying, the man that God wants to use, I have caught him. We will see who he can use again. I'm hoping you follow to this point. committed, the Lord Jesus met Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus? Now that's a story we all know, and I think we preach it. Abi? Now, I want to inform you that Nicodemus is not an hypocrite. Eh? You know, sometimes when we are teaching the Bible, we think that anybody who is a Pharisee is a wrong person. Eh? But I want to tell you that there are many, many notable Pharisees in the Bible that we love to be like them. Can I remind you that Daniel was a Pharisee? Ezra was one of the scribes in Israel who upheld the word of God. It is all right that some Pharisees became hypocrites, but Pharisee is not synonymous with hypocrisy. Do you understand? Now, here was a man, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus and said, "Master, we know that you're a man come from God, for no man can do this kind of thing you are doing if God has not been with him." You know, the way he came, the way he approached Jesus, I thought if I were Jesus, I would have said, what do you think I would have said? I would have said, "Yes, Nicodemus, thank you very much. I'm happy that at least among these people, some of you know the truth. Congratulations, thank you for coming to encourage me." Suddenly, Jesus raised a fundamental issue. What was that fundamental issue? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be what? Be born again, he cannot." You know, that scripture itself is too serious. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, "What do you mean by that? Shall he, after he has grown old, enter his mother's womb again in order to be born?" Now, my first question is that, even if it's a child is born now, just 10 minutes, can that child enter his mother's womb again to be born? No. But Nicodemus understood the implication. He knew that Jesus is saying, you may have fasted, you may have kept all the religious activities, you may have even read the Bible from Genesis to Malachi. The issue is not the matter of fasting, it's not the matter of praying, it's not the matter of observing correct things. The issue is the species of life that you carried, and it has to be evacuated. Brother, if I conclude by asking you to check the Bible very simply, very simply. In case you say, "I don't know whether the life I carry is the life of the flesh or the life of God." Somebody may have that price. I don't know. But more and more as I study the Bible, I found that what the flesh does is what? Is manifest. Didn't Galatians say it? He said, what the flesh does is what? Is quite plain. It's quite plain. If somebody has Galatians chapter 5, can you read it for us? Can you read it for us? Just read Galatians 5. Read from verse 17, maybe 16, 17, but read from 19.
"So I say, live by the Spirit."
Yes, sir.
"And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature."
Yes.
"For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit."
Yes.
"The Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature."
All right, sir.
"They are in conflict."
They are in conflict. One to another, yes.
"So that you do not do what you want."
I think you are reading from NIV, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
But if you are led by the Spirit,
yes, sir,
you are not under law.
Okay.
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious.
The acts. You know, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Now, the Old King James, what did they call that verse 19? The works of the flesh are manifest. What of good news? Is anybody having good news?
What human nature does is quite plain.
What human nature, you see, you know, that's why I just want to pray that as you are reading the Bible, check it from other versions. King James call it the flesh. Abi? This one call it the sinful nature. Now that one simply calls it what? Human nature. It's human. And it's nature. It's not just one activity. What is it? It's a nature. What human nature does is quite what? I thought you are reading. Good news.
What human nature does is quite plain.
It's quite plain. Yes, let's take on.
It shows itself in immoral.
Listen. You know the word they are using now? What did they say? It shows itself. Now, you do understand. Do you understand? Now, he can be here. Quiet. I told you that there's no problem with the face. Is there any problem with the face? There's no problem. Everything looks normal. The day Mr. Flesh wants to manifest, it will show itself. It can show itself in the church service. It can show itself in the market. It can show itself anywhere. Are you understanding that now? And it may be like we have been here now, quite for a few days. Thank God you've not quarreled. What has happened? That man says, where you are, I don't want to manifest myself here. So you will be quiet. You will be as gentle as an angel here. But when he gets to where he wants to manifest itself, you will see that same man. He said, don't take my gentility for stupidity. I'm keeping quiet. It's not that I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to talk more than that. Who is at work there? Has he just come? Eh? He has been there, but he has not had chance to do what? To show itself. You know, when you are reading Bible, you need to read it clearly. Now, go on. It shows itself, yes?
It shows itself in
immoral,
filthy, and indecent actions.
So when you see adultery, when you see fornication, when you see misbehavior between men and women, it could be a pastor with a church member, it could be a church member with another church member, it could be a choir master with somebody in the choir, it may be someone in the market with another person in the market. Excuse me, who is showing itself? Eh? Oh no, you don't want to answer me again. Is that man? Is that man? You say, this pastor is good. The only problem he has is women. No. No. You are making a mistake. What is the truth? The truth is that he carries a life that shows itself. It happens now to show itself in that immoral activity. It is not the immoral activity that brought him. Eh? It is not the immoral activity that brought the old man. The old man is there. quiet, waiting for opportunity to do what? To show itself. And I tell you, you can even preach for 10 years and Mr. Flesh is waiting when he will show itself. The day it will jump up and show itself like this, this is how you will say, eh? So pastor can do like this. Why not? And you know, Mr. Flesh will be saying, it's because you don't know that I have been inside him. That's why you are surprised. Excuse me, brother. The issue we are raising here, I don't want you to be dealing with one sin here, one sin here, one sin here, one sin here. It's a life. It's a life. Read on, read on. You will see the life now. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, indecent action. Yes?
In worship of idols.
So, you know, when you see people worshipping idols, who is at work? It's the same man. We need to understand the word of God clearly. It's the same man. The same man that may not manifest itself in fornication. He looks at this one and says, well, for you, I want you to go to church regularly, but catch guests for me. But for you, you don't need to go to church. I want you to be involved in occultic practice and all. I say, yeah, is that your own? Now, I'm asking a question. What do you think is the difference between the man who preaches, but Mr. Flesh shows itself in him once a while in immorality? He fornicates maybe once in 6 months. And he thanks God that it's not much. And the other man that is worshipping idol. Eh? Why? Why not? Eh? It is the same life that is manifesting. Are you following? It shows itself in worship of idols, yes?
And witchcraft.
Did you understand? I hear you saying, witchcraft, witchcraft, he is demon. I want to tell you, witchcraft is a craft of the flesh. The flesh wanting to gain control over another person using craft. It could bewitch him by always emphasizing his weakness. You know, there are times that when you want somebody to be mesmerized, anything he does, you will always confront him with his mistake. So that's how you used to do. Be careful. Why are you doing that? You want to pull him down so that he can succumb to you unwillingly. You are a witch. You can be a witch as a pastor. It's not all witches that are using juju means. Some use psychology. Anything that is crafty, any crafty means to gain control of another person without his voluntary submission is witchcraft. And that's the work of the flesh. As a wife, if you want your husband to do something which is in you, huh? You can get him to do it either by weeping on his neck every day. He then say, okay, so what do you want me to do? He said, well, I'm not forcing you to do anything, but you have already caught him. And it's a craft. And it's the same life. It's the same life. Oh. I want to tell you that the man who fornicates in the market and the one that uses crafty means to lord it over someone else, they are all apprentices of one man. And this one may be preaching, the other one may be an harlot in the market. It makes no difference. And that's my own problem. That the devil wants to what do I want to say now? He wants to service all our pulpits with his apprentices. Do you understand that? He would like to service our pulpit with his own apprentices. He would like to place men on the pulpit whose inner life is the same with any life anywhere. The only difference is that this one is a preaching life. The other one is a dancing life. Same. It shows itself, yes. Go on reading, so that you can see.
People become enemies and they fight.
Did you see that? When people become enemies and they fight, who is at work? Eh? Now, as I'm reading the Bible, I say, God, you've got to deal with this issue from the root. Otherwise, now, people become enemies, they fight. Now, whether they become enemies over politics, or they become enemies in the market because Mama Kudi is selling more than me, or they become enemies because Reverend so and so is collecting my church member and they are swelling up and me, I'm not making it. Wherever people become enemy, wherever people fight, whether in fighting or out fighting, is that all right? Where people fight, either in the bedroom or in the vestry, who is manifesting itself? That same life is that life. Now, we are reading the scripture not because I want you just to be condemned. No, I want you to know the reality of what we need the grace of God to handle for us. Is that life? They become enemies and they fight. So whether there's fight in between two pastors, so let me inform you, all the fightings that broke churches, who did it? Is that same man walking? You know, as I'm going on the road, I see Assemblies of God Church. The true Assemblies of God Church, do you know in my mind? I know who is at work. Who is at work? Is that man? Whether you are the one who say we are right and the other one say we are wrong, we know the man. And as he's manifesting like that, he could have as well manifested in taking another man's wife. But this time he decided to be religious. He's the same man. He said, but the work of God is progressing. If you go to God and you say, God, excuse me, is your work progressing? God said, no, nobody is doing my work. I'm still looking for who to use to do my work. The people I want to use have been hijacked by my enemy. Yes, sir.
They become jealous.
Angry.
And ambitious.
You imagine, did you see the kind of thing that he said? He said, jealous, angry, and ambitious. Now, the man that is angry and the one that is living in fornication, what's the difference between the two of them? What are they? They are the same apprentices of the same man, the same life. So, you know, I don't see, listen to me, I don't see all those lists as individual lists. I only see it as what one man does. So the question is not that let me be reducing the list one by one. That's not it. It's to get root and uproot that man, evacuate him, and ask for another kind of life. Would you like to finish it for us? Yes? Do you understand that now? Behind all denominationalism is the man. Is the man, oh. They break into parties and groups. Do you know that as we are all seated here, is there any problem? Is there any problem? Were we not able to read the Bible together? Were we not able to pray together? Was there any problem? But why couldn't we work together? Let's tell the truth. Who can fulfill the work of God carrying a life that is directly fighting against God's purpose and God's work will be done on earth? Can it be done? That's what the devil looks for. Do you see that? He talked of anger here. Did he talk of anger there? And how many times did you ever imagine that anger is the man trying to do what? Show himself. This anger may manifest. You know, the minimum level of anger I have seen is when people stand up and they beat themselves and they tear their clothes. That's wonderful. And I wish that is happening, because that is easier to handle. But there is that anger that doesn't show. It's inside. It can be there. It will be boiling. The day you mistakenly step on his toes, it will break. Keep your boundary. I don't want problem. But when trouble sleeps, don't go and wake him up. I'm a lamb, gentle. But if you put your hand in my throat, I can bite off. I won't say more than that. God bless you. Now let's stand up as we pray together. The Lord is good. You see that man? He's asking us to stand up to pray. But we know the man. Sometime, even your sermon, somebody is the one preaching it. Someone is the one preaching that sermon. When you land on a scripture, repent, every one of you. Some people take the man of God for granted. And the Lord says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. And you know, the corner of your eye is actually facing the person that you really want to deal with. And since as a man of God, you have immunity on the pulpit. Am I correct? And somebody is preaching. And we know him. We know him. Now, where there is any, read on, finish for us, because I think we should leave it.
They are envious.
Yes.
Get drunk.
They get drunk.
Have orgies.
They have orgies.
And do other things like this.
Now, when that scripture say, and they do such other things, do you know what touched me? The list is not comprehensive. That there are even things that Mr. Flesh does that this list did not include. There are issues that Mr. Flesh is involved in. He does it. He likes to show. He likes to manifest. It is not just that it will be difficult for the Lord Bishop to go and cancel the throne. But there is an aspiring bishop under him that is saying, no. You know why? Leave it there. If you don't want to sit there, when it's my turn. We are talking of this man. But what is the greatest pain today? It didn't matter if this man took over market people. It will not be too much if this man took over all the engineers. And if he did not take over the pulpit, at least there will be someone carrying a different life that is shining light. So that when engineers that are carrying darkness, when they come and they say, but the enemy will not spare the pulpit. He has not spared the pulpit. That's why we are where we are. He has not spared the men on the altar. In fact, he has a special interest for people like us. Are you getting me? So, I don't want us to be doing things on the surface. I want us to pray. I want us to say, God, I am beginning to discover something. It looks as if the life I'm carrying is educated, civilized, but is that old man? You could be preaching, but when it manifests, you are surprised. Eh? Did you see that sometime in the church committee meeting, things have been going? When this thing rises inside of you, I say, ladies and gentlemen, what are we talking about here? I thought you people are serious. Now I know that there's no seriousness here. God bless you. And you walk out. Who was doing that? Is that man. Is that man. We didn't learn Christ like that. That's that man. People came and begged you. They begged. They said, Pastor, sorry. We are sorry. We are very, very sorry, sir. And the man inside is breathing. So, are you really, really sorry? They said, we are very sorry, sir. We are very, very sorry. We will pledge that it will not happen again. So, well, it's all right. You all should know that it took a lot of sacrifice for me to accept this particular pastorate. I know where I would have been today. You see, in 1974, when I finished my first degree, they actually offered me automatic Commonwealth scholarship to go abroad. I remember that Professor So-and-so was 2 years behind me. But for the call of God, I left all of that only to face careless insult from ignorant people. Well, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for so it pleases you. Who is at work there? Is that man. You might dramatize it, you might spiritualize it, but it's the same man. And I want to suggest to you, in the words of the Lord Jesus, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If there is anything that God wants to evacuate, is the life of the flesh. He wants to take it out. The flesh irritates Jesus. His least manifestation makes his work contaminated. The issue we have raised now, I have not reached the point of saying, so how do we get out of it? You know, we've not got there. But you see, we can't be looking for solution when you have not seen the problem. To offer a medicine to a person who didn't understand the sickness is to waste your medicine. Until you understand the gravity of the body in the heart of God, the man that God uses, it won't dawn on you that to get out of here is to get out with a different man. To say that light that is light, that light that shines and darkness cannot comprehend it, is the one I must carry from here. Lord, I want you to evacuate. I'm using that word technically because that will be my discussion tomorrow. The evacuation of that life. That life is the one that makes your marriage difficult. Do you understand? There are so many things that happens, and if only you can just say, sorry. I'm very sorry. Do you know that the matter will finish there and then? One of the things this man never said since Genesis chapter 3 is to say, I'm sorry. You can imagine a discussion between you and your wife. Your wife say, this is the thing you did that pained me. Instead of say, oh, is that so? I'm sorry. I hear you say, well, you should know that it's not intentional. It's just because of the way you also behaved. Were it not the way you answered me? I wouldn't be so mean as to be shouting on you, but when you snubbed me. You see, that's how it happened. Let's forget about it. Did you notice that he has avoided what? Sorry. Apology. No. Let's forget about it. Then, instead of saying sorry to do the correct thing, he comes to ask for sex. And then, the woman says, well, I know I'm being used. He said, for what? Is that man? There's no day I read Genesis 3 and I came to verse 6 that my heart didn't break. I said, oh God. But I thank God that there is another Adam. Oh, thank God that there's the second Adam. Who also took upon him the form of a man like ourselves. He deliberately wanted to destroy one thing. He wanted to find an opportunity of terminating this life. But I want to ask you, the first step unto victory is to identify the matter. I wish we can identify and say, look, Lord, my church members are not here. I'm here. And you are showing me that there is something that I'm carrying. And it cannot win the battle. Because it does not carry the power, the life, the light that can overcome darkness. I need evacuation. Is anybody willing to make this kind of prayer? We're willing to make that prayer from the depth of our heart. The issue is not what others say. Even when that life is quiet and it sits down like this, you have been surprised that you thought it has gone. Until one day, he jumped up. A man beat his wife one day, he's a preacher, and the woman was bleeding. And you know what he said? He said, I am surprised that I could do it. He said he was surprised. I smiled. I said, you are surprised? He said, I couldn't imagine myself doing that. Maybe it's the devil. I said, yes, the devil is unfortunate. Because every wrong thing has to be the devil. But the truth is that the man who did it was resilient in you. He only didn't have opportunity. We want to ask God not for the suppression of that man. What do we want to ask God for? The evacuation. Evacuate it. Lord, draw it out. And fill me afresh with the kind of life.
This has been Living Seed. For further inquiry or counsel, contact P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0808-5150-610. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. See you next week.